Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
All right, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to do one of my favorite things, and that is answer questions that you alert listeners have sent in to say, hey, let's talk about this topic, and the topic is prayer. So one question was sent in about prayer, but I thought, why not answer more than one question? Questions that I've had along the way about prayer, and I would say that prayer is something that, I'll just say it, I'm still growing in, still don't understand everything about prayer. I don't know that any of us can, because we're communicating with a God who is infinite, who is far greater than us, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways. And so we can only, on this earth, see through a glass dimly, as the scripture says. But nevertheless, let's talk about some questions. Let's try to answer. Let's try to peer into some answers about prayer and see where we get. The question that was sent in to me about prayer was, why pray if God already knows what we want? Why pray if God already knows what we want? Well, I don't know how you would answer that question. I think there's probably a couple different answers. One of the reasons that I believe God wants us to pray, even though He already knows what we want, and even more importantly, knows what we need, we'll get into that in a minute, is that when we pray for those things, we acknowledge who is the giver of all good things. Also, when we receive those things from God, we are hopefully reminded that we are receiving those things from God, that it is not just good luck, but it's not just our own skill and ability. But when we pray for things to God, and we receive those answers to prayer, we hopefully are reminded where the answer came from. The answer came from God Himself. I also think, and this is we're going to touch on this a little bit later too, why pray if God already knows what we want, that prayer is, or should be, not so much about what we want God to do, but prayer, I think done rightly, which I'm not sure I always do, prayer should be more about us conforming our desires and wants and needs to what God has for us, because God knows better than we do. We'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a couple of ideas to answer that question, why pray if God already knows what we want? Why? Next, I'll answer. Now, here's some more questions I just made up, but I think I've asked these questions throughout my life. Why pray a bunch of times for the same thing if God is a loving Father who wants to give us what's good for us? In other words, if I'm praying for a particular thing, whatever it might be, for my children to grow up in the faith, for a godly spouse, for those sorts of things that we know are in God's will even, why would I pray more than one time for those things? Because God already knows what I want. We know that they're in God's will, that I have a godly spouse, that I have children who grow up in the faith. Those things are in God's will. So why keep pestering Him about those things? Does that do any good? If I pray 50 times, will I not get the answer I want and need? But if I pray 51 times, then I'll get the answer? Well, Jesus talks about that in Luke chapter 18. He has a parable, you can look it up, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 and following, about this widow who continually goes and begs this judge for justice. And eventually, the judge gives the widow justice because he says, if I don't give her justice, she's going to wear me out with her pleading. And in that, by that parable, Jesus says we ought to always pray and never give up. So Jesus, for some reason, encourages us to always pray and never give up, to continually, well, as Paul says, he says, pray without ceasing, pray unceasingly. So my human mind thinks, I don't know why I'm doing that. I know God cares about me. I know He's going to give me what's best for me. Why do I have to keep saying the same thing over and over? But Jesus encourages us to do that. And so I think he knows better than I do. So we're called to do that. And again, part of that might be the answer to that first question, that when we pray like that and plead with God for things like that, when the answer comes, it makes us more grateful because we know where the answer came from. All right, next question. This one, I'm not sure I'm going to give the answer to this one, but here's the question. Is it more effective if lots of people pray for the same thing rather than just one person prays, namely me? My friend is sick, and I pray for God to bring healing. Is it more effective if I go on to christlincoln.org/prayer and request a public prayer in the church for my friend? Is God not going to heal my friend because only I prayed? But if I ask the church to pray, then God will say yes. Or what if I ask my parents' church to pray and my brothers and sisters' churches to pray and churches around the United States to pray? And if enough churches pray, then God's going to go, all right, I'll answer the prayer. There's your yes. Is it more effective if lots of people pray for the same thing more than just one person praying for the same thing? I'll say I don't know. That is something about prayer I have never quite understood. And yet, I will say there's been various times in my life when I've had situations where multiple people, many people sometimes, have told me, I'm praying for you. That has, for whatever reason, strengthened my heart and strengthened my faith. And I have this sense that God is answering those prayers. And I don't know why that would be more effective. I think God loves me enough to give his own son to die for me. If he gave me Jesus, why would he not give me all things? And yet, I think there is some effectiveness in prayer, and I don't really understand how all that works. Don't really understand it. All right, next question about prayer. What if what I'm praying for is bad for me, but I don't realize that? This is one that's always troubled me a little bit, because some things we know are God's will. I know, let's say I'm single, I know that if I am praying for a spouse, that that spouse be a godly spouse. I know that's God's will. And it may not be his will to give me a spouse at all. It may be his will that I remain single. But if I find a spouse, I know that it is God's will that that spouse be godly and draw me to closer faith in him. But even that, if I'm praying for a spouse, how do I know that's God's will for me? Maybe that would be in some way harmful to me. Maybe I would be able to serve God better as a single person. So, and that's just one example of everything we pray for. I want to trust God to know what's best for me and not have him give me things just because I'm praying for them and he wants to do me a favor. Look at what Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane gives us a great example of how to pray. Jesus prayed that he could avoid the cross. Well, my friends, if Jesus avoided the cross, we'd all be going to hell. So that was a problem. That was, I'm glad that God the Father did not answer his prayer with a yes. We'd all be going to hell. So how did Jesus end those prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane? He ended the prayers by saying, not my will, but your will be done. And so it's important for us as we pray. Melinda and I went through infertility. As we pray for a child, that we always end those prayers with a humble, not my will, but your will, that we remember and acknowledge that God knows more than we do. He knows the future, which we don't. He loves us even more than we love ourselves, which is amazing. And we want him to do what he knows is best, even if we would look at that and say that's not best. So I think it's important as we pray that we always keep that those things in mind about God, that our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father is what matters the most, and to trust in him even in the face of not getting, quote, what we want. Next question about prayer, and I put these in order for a reason. Why are the first questions we've been asking about prayer all about asking for stuff? What does that say about how I view prayer? And should my view of prayer change? In other words, all the questions I've asked so far The first ones that came to my mind as I looked at my list were all about asking for stuff, about requests of God to give me stuff, to give me what I want. What does that say about how I view prayer, and should my view of prayer change? And my answer to that is yes, my view of prayer should change. Prayer should not be about always asking for stuff. Imagine the relationship of a parent and a child. When every time the child called, or every time the child came into the room, you knew what was coming next. The child was going to ask for something, was going to ask for, as if you're the giant gumball machine in the sky. That should not be what prayer is about. It should be included in prayer. But what kind of, if you're a parent, what kind of relationship do you want with your child? Do you want your child always walking into the room, and every time you know they come into the room or call you on the phone, they're asking for stuff? They're going to ask you to do something. Isn't it far better that they ask other things? That they tell you what a great parent you are, that they thank you for what you've done for them, and so forth. We'll get into that in a little bit. So I think my view of prayer should change. I think also, if you think about a child and a parent, the parent is trying to raise a child and knows more than the child. And so wouldn't it be helpful in that relationship of a parent and a child, or a child to parent in this case, as prayer is, we're a child of God, for the child to be open to change based on the parent's wisdom, knowledge, and love. And so we, in prayer, need to maybe refocus prayer from what we want, walking into God's throne room and saying, bang, 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 here's what I want, to saying, God, what should I want? What do I need? What do you believe is best for me? And how can I best serve you? Maybe that's a better view of prayer. All right, a couple more questions and we'll close it out. Are formula prayers better than made-up prayers? Or are made-up prayers better than formula prayers? In other words, sitting down to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. That's a formula prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, etc. Formula prayer. Are those prayers better, or are made-up prayers better? Well, I think they each have advantages. So we'll say that. I think formula prayers kind of help us to get prayer right. The Come, Lord Jesus prayer reminds me as I sit down to eat meal that Jesus is there with me. What a great thing to do. What a great use of prayer to remind me that Jesus is there sitting at the table. On the other hand, made-up prayers, where you can sit down and pray about the day before you eat or at any other time during the day, are also good because they enable you to pour out your heart to God. So both are good, and both can be used well in their right setting. All right. A couple things as we close out. An acronym for prayer that can be helpful, I've found helpful, and there's other acronyms like this, ACTS, A-C-T-S, the book of Acts. So how does an acronym like that, ACTS, help us pray more effectively, if you've ever heard of that? So ACTS stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So if we're praying, and it helps our prayers maintain balance if you pray. I'll just go through an ACTS type prayer here. God, you are an amazing God, a creator God who has sent your son to redeem me. I just adore you. You are an amazing, wonderful Heavenly Father. And I confess to you that I have done this and that and have not lived up to what you've called me to be in this area of life. And I want to give you thanks for these things in my day. As I look back over my day, my heart is overwhelmed with thanks for what you've done for me. And I pray, Lord, that you would also consider this and such that I lay before your throne of grace that I would love to have from you, whatever that might be. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication is a great way if you're looking to how do I balance my prayers out so that I'm not just always going and asking for things. Two more questions. Should we say the Lord's Prayer every time we pray? Which kind of goes back to the formula prayers. Should we pray the Lord's Prayer every time we pray? I don't know that Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer so that we could pray it every time we pray, every time we get together. I don't know that he did that. I think it was a model of prayer. And if we turn it into a formula where we just rattle it off and don't think about it, I think that becomes a problem. On the other hand, I think if we pray it with a thinking mind, if we actually think as we're praying that prayer, obviously it's a model prayer. So why not make use of the Lord's Prayer? So important to think it through. One of the things that I like to do in worship as we pray the prayer in church is to read the prayer while we're praying it, rather than just rattling, because I can rattle it off, no problem. I've done it a couple of times. So I know it by memory, believe it or not. But if I read it, it helps me to think through what I'm actually praying. And I think that's an important piece as you pray the Lord's Prayer. So if you're in worship this coming Sunday and I see you with your eyes open looking at the screen as you pray the prayer, I'll know what you're doing. You're not just wandering, but you're actually trying to pray the prayer with meaning. You don't have to do that, but I've found it helpful myself. Last question. People have talked about praying the Psalms, and I've heard people talk about praying the Psalms. What does that mean? How do we do that? Well, I wanted to give you an example of that as we close out. So what does praying the Psalms mean, and how can that be a blessing to your prayer life? So I just thought I'd start with Psalm 1. Why not? Can we say it's one of the best Psalms? I think we can say that, although they're all good. But let's just kind of give an example of what it would mean to pray Psalm 1. I just chose the first three verses. There's six verses to the Psalm altogether. But here we go. So the Psalm says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take, or sit in the company of mockers." Lord God, I pray that I would be blessed in my life, that I would not walk in the steps of the wicked, that I would not stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Lord, you know the temptations in my life. You know how I could so easily slip into those things. And in fact, I've done that even today, and I confess my sin to you, that I can sense that in this moment of the day, I was walking in step with the wicked, Lord, and I confess that to you. And I ask that you would keep me from those things, that you would keep me from temptation. Lord, that I would, as verse 2 says, delight in your word, that I would meditate on your word day and night, that I would not miss my time in your word, not only today, but tomorrow, the next day, that I would be able to take time, that I would not be too busy to be with you, and that I would delight in your law, even though sometimes it feels constricting to me, that I would not view it that way, but that I would view your law as a law of freedom that allows me to live a life the way I'm made to live. Lord God, I pray that I would be like a tree planted by streams of water, that I would yield fruit in season and out of season, that my leaf would not wither. Lord God, that I would always be yielding fruit for you, even in times of drought, even in times of great difficulty, which I'm experiencing right now, that you would, that I would not live by my own strength, but would live by the strength you provide, and that the water of life would fill my soul, that I would be able to experience the goodness of what it is to live as your child, even in the midst of difficult times. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me each and every day of my life. And I praise you, not because my circumstances are good, but because you are good. Thank you, Lord. So that's an example of using the Psalms as a prayer, of praying through a psalm and having the psalm guiding your heart. Well, I hope this podcast has been helpful to you. I'm sure there's other questions about prayer that maybe I didn't get to answer here today, or other answers that you think, wow, I think he really missed the boat on that answer. I would have said this. So write me about that. EaglesOnTheHill211@gmail.com. There's no spaces, dots, dashes, underscores, just EaglesOnTheHill211@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts about prayer and how God has blessed you in relationship with him. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.